He is risen. And we are here to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to read from the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a vision from the Lord, and here is how it is written. Jeremiah 32, beginning with verse 6. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, Hanamel, son of Salem, your uncle is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field at Anathoth.' Because as the nearest relative, it is your right and your duty to buy it. Then just as the Lord had said, my cousin, Hanamel, came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, 'Buy my field in Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is right, your right to redeem and possess it, buy it for yourself.' I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed it out the silver on the scales. I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy. And I gave this deed to Barak, son of Nerah, the son of Manasseh, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, and of the witnesses who had signed the deed, and all the Jews sitting in the courtyard of the guard. In their presence, I gave Barak these instructions. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Take these documents, both the sealed and the unsealed, copies of the deed of purchase, and put them in a clay jar so that they will last a long time. For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Houses, fields, and vineyards will be bought in this land." And beginning with verse 26, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we hear this word of Jeremiah. Give to us open ears and hearts as to what it means to us today, what it means to us personally, and what it means to us as a church, what it means to our world. And now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, we will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was the great theologian Yogi Berra that said, "The future ain't what it used to be." And some of us may have that feeling about the future as we look to what is ahead. We may have a very pessimistic view of the world, and that may be our take on the future. It ain't what it used to be. Well, with apologies to Yogi Berra, it's not entirely correct. From a human point of view, yes. From God's point of view, the history, the future is what it's always been and always will be. And we are asked to join in with that future, with the Lord. So that is the invitation today. It's possible that someone here, in their own personal journey, needs a word of hope. So please hear that word today, that as you look to the future, even if it's the bleakest of times, There is hope in God's future. There is hope in the Lord. That is the word of Jeremiah. But it's not a word we get to easily, because this is an absurd story. Let me just set the stage for us. This story of Jeremiah buying a field at Anathoth is a part of a larger story. And as it was said in the Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and the worst of times. What we would say about Jeremiah is it was the worst of times, and it was about to get even worse. It was bleak. How bleak was it? It was so bleak that Israel, that had gone from one king, and they had asked for an earthly king, they'd gone from one king to another, they were down to their last king, and he was not very good, Zedekiah. And Zedekiah's failures led to the complete fall of Israel. They had tried to mimic other nations in strength, and instead of turning to the Lord and finding their strength, which they could have done all along and which God wanted them to do, they turned to other nations and compared themselves in military strength and in other ways. And so instead of becoming strong, they became weak. And Jeremiah, who did not sugarcoat, he was a full prophet. And that's how we know him. He wasn't a bullfrog. Jeremiah wasn't a bullfrog. I'm just checking to see if you're still there. He was a prophet. And he had a prophetic word in the bleakest of times. How bleak was it? Zedekiah's kingdom was falling. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was rising with Babylon, and the Babylonian army came to siege Jerusalem. And there was a takeover and an exile. An exile would be the worst way to live. You get displaced. You have to honor people you do not want to honor. You're in exile. You have to leave everything that's important to you. Go live in another land. It's the bleakest of times. It was the bleakest of times in that Jeremiah was actually in prison. Imagine that. Writing words of hope from prison. So it was the bleakest of times. There was the coming exile, there was the siege of Jerusalem, and there was Jeremiah in prison. But yet he heard this word from the Lord, buy this field at Anathoth, you're entitled to it, buy it from your cousin Hanamel. And so when that opportunity presented itself, he did it, as absurd as it was to buy this field. Imagine this real estate, worthless, useless. They were about to be transported. Jeremiah would never see the benefit of this land. But yet he listened to the Lord, and he bought the field with this promise that there would be a day again where it would be fruitful. It would do what it was there to accomplish for the Lord. This vineyard would bear fruit again at Anathoth. And so we see so many connections here to our own spiritual journey in this story, that God can take even that which is punishment. And, you know, Israel would have felt like they're being punished, but they're being punished for their own disobedience. They have turned away from God through the years, and now they're living these consequences. And so this is a story that tells us that even in God's punishment and reaping the consequences that we have lived into, there can be redemption. Secondly, this story tells us that even in the bleakest of times, that in times of devastation even, good can come. Maybe some of you here today, you're going through devastating times. Hear that word. Good can come in those devastating times. It's also a story that tells us that even when the perils of danger lurk, when the perils of danger lurk, that our real security is in the Lord. Our real security is in the Lord. And that's a good word for all of us. Some of you may be afraid. You may feel in danger. God's security, God's plan, God's future is in front of you. There is no reason to be afraid. God's security is greater than our fear of danger. So what else do we gain from this absurd story about the purchase of this field at Anathoth? Well, it is ultimately a message here about trusting God. Trusting God. Do not pay attention to everything that's going on in the world. Focus more on trusting God. That's a great message for us, isn't it? Trust the Lord. Do not get lost in all the other messages, but focus on the message as we look to the future on trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord with the future. And that beautiful word is given out that we also read in Jesus' birth story about the virgin birth. Nothing is too hard for God. So what looks impossible for us, what looks difficult, what looks impossible is possible for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So what are we to make of all of this? What are we to make of all of this? You know, our church, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be praying, we're going to be preparing for a congregational vote. It's called a church conference. Every member of the church is a voting member of the church conference. And we're going to be looking at the future of our church. And I think it's a very significant time for us to look at that future. And how do we choose to look at that future? Do we choose to look at that future through the eyes of hope? Or do we choose to look with other things dictating how we look at everything? I would encourage us to look at the future the same way Jeremiah had to look at the future from that jail cell in a time of exile, in a time where he was buying land he would never use, that even so, as ridiculous as this story is, he put his trust in the future with God. And that is our message. No matter what's going on around us, we ultimately must put our trust in God. If I had a lot of time here today, I would break into another sermon about now. But I'm going to have to, with communion and other important aspects of our worship as a part of today, I want to just give you some ideas as to what this says to us. Sometimes we think that we're supposed to control the future. We're not going to control the future. If we want to be miserable, try to control the future. If we want to be absolutely miserable, make your plans and try to control them. But if we want to live into God's future, we begin by trusting Him and seeking His future. And so we seek His future. It's totally different. Nobody here knows what's going to happen a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. What we know is that in all likelihood, unless Jesus comes, there's going to be a church here. And what we do now matters for the future generations. It matters now, and it also matters in the future generations. We need to put a stake in this future. We need to proclaim the hope that is in our God as we move toward His future. What we do now has a significant impact on what happens in future generations. We may not be around to see it, but like Jeremiah, we still take that step of trust and hope in the future in the Lord. Secondly, we do not let external circumstances dictate the future. There's always going to be some reasons to be pessimistic. You know, I really think that we as the church have no reason, following our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ever to come out with a pessimistic message for our world that is desperate for good news. And so we are about proclaiming that God has a stake in the future. He's moving us toward that hope in the future. And so we do not let the distractions of all that may be going on in our world right now limit God's future. And thirdly, it's just a matter of, do we trust God, or do we look at the future through our own eyes? And looking at the future with our own eyes has severe limitations. We are not able to control the future, but we are called to trust the Lord with our future. So I invite us today to put our hope in the Lord, just as Jeremiah did. To put our hope in the Lord and put a stake into the future. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the challenge to be a part of what you're doing in the world through the church. Help us to be a people of hope and proclaim the hope of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we proclaim this hope of Jesus to the world. We pray this in His name. Amen.